Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. So happy to be here again with kind of a regular guest on the program, my good friend Ralph Martin, who's the president of Renewal Ministries and professor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. I asked Ralph if he could come on the program and share a little bit with us about what God's been doing with him, but really what the Lord's been speaking to his heart and some things that are kind of fresh and inspiring that he can bring to the program. So welcome, Ralph.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's good to be here. I just got back from Brazil a couple of days ago and kind of recovering, but I think I'm recovered enough to be on the program today.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you went to Brazil. Could you say a little bit about it? About
sure,
your
yeah.
experience there and tell us a little bit about the church in Brazil.
Yeah. Well, this priest, Father Eduardo Doherty, came to Michigan in 1969 when he was a seminarian, and he asked to be prayed for more of the Holy Spirit in his life, to be baptized in the Spirit, and we did that, and it worked, and he went back to Brazil, and he's had this most amazing ministry there. He has a huge television network. 300 people work for him. He has 24-hour-a-day programming, and that's only one of four national networks in Brazil that the Catholic Charismatic Renewal has generated. So this renewal movement, Catholic Charismatic Renewal, has borne such fruit in Brazil. It's really amazing. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in terms of the work that they're doing there. So I was there to visit with him and to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal and to see all the things that have happened through him since we prayed over him 49 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, I know some of our listeners might think, well, what do you actually do when you're there? Like, what topics do you speak on?
Yeah.
What are they interested in hearing, and what do you bring?
You know, you fly all through the night. It's an 11-hour flight from Detroit to Sao Paulo, and then it's a 2-hour drive to where he is. And that afternoon, I did a half-hour interview with him talking about what happened to him 49 years ago. And then I did a testimony that night at a weekly prayer meeting that's televised live, and I just told my own story about how I met the Lord and surrendered to him and all the things that have happened in my own life. And then the next day, they invited about 30 of the main leaders in the Charismatic Renewal and Brazil Catholic Renewal for a day-long of dialogue with me. So that was really good. All kinds of wonderful things came up. I was able to deal with that. Then we drove that night to another city where this amazing community exists, many, many young people. And we had a conference the next day on Saturday for 600 of their main leaders. And I'd say 60% of them were young people in their 20s and 30s, you know, and it was just really encouraging to see how much they're doing. It's 3,000 or 4,000 people in the community, and they've got an outreach in every single city in the diocese. And so it was really, really great. And then we drove home that night, back to Campinas area. And then the next day, we did a day-long live television program from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, and I gave 3 talks. And one of the really beautiful things for me was that whenever I can give more than 2 talks, the third talk I like to do in Fatima, which we've talked about here before, we did that. We even published that CD based on our interview on this radio program. And as I was talking about Fatima this time, the interpreter began to cry when I started to talk about the children's response to the message of Mary, and he couldn't go on. So we had to call up another interpreter to kind of take over. But it's just beautiful to see the Holy Spirit making these things that are not just historical things that happened 100 years ago, but there's a spiritual reality to them that we can tap into today. So anyway, that's what I was doing. And I flew all through the night coming back here, and here we are.
Yeah. No, it's good. Thanks for coming in. And
yeah,
I know we've been kind of talking. We haven't had a chance to actually talk about the theme, but you were saying that the Lord's been stirring some things in your heart about holiness, another kind of insight of the prism, seeing another dimension of holiness or something. So I'm eager to hear what the Lord's showing you.
Yeah. Well, you know, here on this program, Peter, and our whole work in Renewal Ministries, we really focus on the importance of conversion, repentance, the forgiveness of sins, being delivered from the power of the evil one, being in the world but not of it, just all the things that are necessary to be reconciled with God and become part of his family. And of course, that's really important, and we need to keep on emphasizing that. But one of the things I've been noticing lately is I think we need to talk more about it. I'm going to do it right now, about what we're saved for. You know, it's pretty...
Not just what you're saved from.
Right.
Sin and death and hell.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but
right.
You're saved for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, we say we're saved for heaven, we're saved for, you know, eternal life, and that's really all true. But there's a text in John's Gospel that just has been striking me more powerfully than it ever has. It's a very familiar text, but there's some stuff there that I never noticed before.
You know, yeah, that's an amazing thing about Scripture, isn't
it?
Yeah,
is that something? Does that ever happen
something
to you?
Something you've read 100 times, all of a sudden there's a new insight. That's why it's a living word, right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit opens our minds and hearts to understand what's being communicated.
Yeah, and sometimes you say, was that there the last time I read it, you know? So anyway, here's the text. It's John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. Jesus is praying. He says, I do not pray for these only, he's talking about his immediate apostles and disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Well, Peter, you and I have come to believe in Jesus through the words of the apostles. So here's Jesus praying for us. Yeah. He wasn't just praying for the apostles, but he was praying for those who would come to believe through their word. We have come to believe through the words of the apostles. So Jesus was praying for us at the Last Supper. So I think that's pretty neat.
It's pretty cool. It's amazing.
Really happy that Jesus was thinking of us at the Last Supper. Then he goes on to say, this is what he's praying, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, one of the greatest longings for the human heart is communion with another person, you know, union with another person. And we want to be one with people. We want to be one with the Lord. And here's Jesus saying that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So the Father and Son are in each other in some very profound and mysterious way, and that they also may be in us. So the Father and Jesus want us to be in them as they're in each other. So this is a little mind-blowing, but it's sort of amazing what Jesus wants for us. You know, it's amazing what opens up for us once we do repent of our sins and are baptized and become part of the church, you know, that there's an amazing communion. And we talk about the communion of saints, but it's a pretty profound and deep spiritual communion, but involves real human beings being one with each other and one with the Father and the Son. So, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. You know, how could Jesus be so bold as to pray this prayer? He wants us to be one even as they are one. And what Jesus prays for is the will of God. You know, so we know there's power to that prayer, that Jesus is going to do everything he can to answer his own prayer. Yeah. You know, he's praying for us to be one as they are one. And we know that Jesus doesn't pray for something that is impossible. We know this is possible. But that's where, like, growing in holiness comes in. But we'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. So the Father, Jesus wants the world to see that we are loved by the Father the same way that Jesus is loved by the Father. Now, that's kind of mind-blowing, too. Like, could we be loved that much, Peter?
Yeah.
And that's what it says. Yes, yes, that the Father loves us the same as he loves Jesus, and he wants the world to see that. And then he prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory. Now, the Father has given us to Jesus. Like, we're the Father's gift to Jesus. Mm. That's pretty amazing. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. So Jesus wants us to
be with him.
Be with him and to experience his glory and to see his glory. Jesus wants us to see how amazing and how wonderful this relationship with the Father is, and the relationship that they're inviting us into. So what we're being invited to in the Christian life is so far beyond anything we could have ever imagined or dreamed about and ever thought up on our own. And even for experienced Christians like us, this is still kind of mind-blowing to try to comprehend what's really going on here. So I'll finish here in just a minute. To behold my glory, which you have given me in your love for me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants us to see how neat things are with him and the Father, his glory. Oh, Holy Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So, Peter, I don't know. I mean, this is hard to explain. This is mind-blowing, you know. But what happens is where we're reconciled with God, we turn away from our sins, and we start living the Christian life. But something has to happen to get us ready for this. To get us ready for this kind of union with God and union with each other, something has to happen. That's called growing in holiness. So Jesus has to prepare us for this. The Holy Spirit has to prepare us for this, because this is something that requires complete union with the will of God. And this parts of us that don't want complete union with the will of God, right? This parts of us that still resist. We may consciously, as fully as we possibly can, surrender our life to the Lord, but there's still parts of us that we don't have possession of, that deep inner things in our soul that we can't reach, you know. So the Holy Spirit, we call the sanctifier. So the Holy Spirit, like it says in Romans chapter 8, with groans and sighs too deep for words, makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit's in our life, trying to get into the depth of our heart and get everything in us lined up with the will of God, get everything in us healed, get everything in us straightened out. And so it's just wonderful to see what the Holy Spirit is preparing us for, and how powerful the Holy Spirit is, and how much He knows what's needed in our life. And that's why this rediscovery of the Holy Spirit in the church today is
crucial.
So important. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what the passage you read from John, it communicates to us what, as you said at the beginning of the program, what we've been given. And so the Holy Spirit is helping us see through Jesus' prayer that what we're being drawn into is, for lack of a better way of saying it, the ground of all reality, which is the relationship between the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit together. That the most fundamental reality and everything is a communion in relationship in God Himself.
Yeah.
And what God intends for us, and it's such a beautiful thing we can hardly even imagine, is He wants us to be in that with Him.
I know.
They want us to be in this communion of family and friendship. And so John, at the beginning, the first chapter, he says, hey, He gave us power to become children of God.
Yeah.
We can't be children of God. It's not just a phrase. It expresses, the children of God expresses this unity that the Father wants to have. And the best analogy we have is like family. It's the family of the Father and Son and that relationship. And we're being drawn into it by Jesus' prayer, by Jesus' sacrifice, by Jesus' power, by His becoming one of us that makes it possible for us to be with Him in the Father, because He's the first one in His own flesh somehow being united as He was perfectly united in the Father for all time. Yeah. He brought humanity into that in Himself, so we could come into it.
Yeah.
And this is the destiny of all of our lives and what we're called to. Ralph, we just have about 50 seconds left. This went by so fast, I can hardly believe it. Could you just say a little prayer for our listeners?
Yeah.
We'll come talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. We'll pick it up again. We just have a few seconds to pray for them.
Oh, Father, this is so beyond anything that we can imagine or think of or understand. We just ask You to do it in us. Lord, we want this. We want to fulfill the purpose for which You've created us. We want the sanctifier to do its work in our soul. We want to come and be one with You and one with each other, and to be experience that love that You have for us and love each other with that love. Father, we just thank You for the beauty of what You've created us for, and we ask that You do it in us, that You prepare us for it. Jesus, we thank You that You've accepted us as a gift from the Father, and we ask You to bring us to the Father's house and prepare us for this amazing sight of Your glory.
Amen. Thank you for praying that. And friends, today, what does the Lord want for you? He wants you to believe that you are called to this gift too. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.